Hello, friends. You're listening to our Mission Path. I'm Timothy Downey. Welcome to the fourth installment in the series called Disciple. These lessons flow from a book by the same name, Disciple, that I have written from my experience here in Ecuador as a missionary and also in ministry for 14 years before we actually got here. You can find this book on Amazon.com. It's not the only book called Disciple on Amazon. However, it is the only one that is attached to my name. So you can just look up Disciple and Timothy Downing and find it there. You could also find it on our website, ourmissionpath.com. These lessons are presented from the SETE, the seminary in Quito, Ecuador, in conjunction with the Downing Family Ministry. Now, if you have been following along with these lessons on our website, you'll notice that there are oftentimes Q&As, question and answers during the week. You'll also notice that this week I did not post a Q&A. That's because we only received one question this week, and it wasn't one that I could make a video with. I didn't think so. And so I do want to answer it here and now. I did answer it via email. By the way, if you would like to make a comment or ask a question about these lessons, you can do so at downing@ourmissionpath.com. That's downing@ourmissionpath.com. The only question that came in this week was from the country of Peru. And they asked, the brother in Peru asked, are you going to make these lessons available in Spanish? And they actually asked a timeline for that. When will you have them done in Spanish? And I'm going to assure you that yes, these will be done in Spanish. I'm going to part the veil a little bit for you. I had to learn about video editing to do these lessons. I have mainly been an audio preacher. So I'll put something up on the internet, but it's usually a podcast or an audio sermon, very rarely with video. And there's a reason for that. Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. One, I have a really good face for audio. But secondly, I really didn't know how to make videos, at least not quality videos, or what I felt should be produced by a seminary or even by our own family ministry. Now, I've done short videos thanking different churches at different times for their support and that sort of thing. But as far as a teaching series, there was a learning curve. And just to be frankly honest with you, it's easier to learn for me to learn in Spanish or English, rather, and then translate what I've learned into Spanish. And so, what I've done with this series is the English speaking series. You're actually the guinea pig. Now that has some deep implications here in Ecuador because we eat guinea pigs, but you're actually the guinea pig in the English version of this because I needed to learn how to edit and produce good videos. And I needed to do that without worrying about translations and making sure that I say the vowels correctly in Spanish and that sort of thing. And so, yes, there is a Spanish version of this coming. The person who was asking about it wanted to do this as a small group study for their church. And I encourage you to do that. If you'd like to do that, go for it. If you do that, though, please make sure that you indicate to us that you are, so that we can pray alongside of you and we can be available to answer any questions that you might have. All right. Previously on Disciple, we learned that there is a vision that Christ has for his church. The first lesson we learned about how important it is to have a vision, and the bottom line is that there is a vision for the church that Jesus Christ has built. And that vision isn't something that we have to make up, and it's not something that we have to touch up or any of that. It's actually pretty clear in the scripture. It is the only marching orders that Jesus Christ has given to his church, Not the only expectations, by the way, but the only marching orders. And that is found in the Great Commission. We'll read that in a few minutes here. But there's, of course, expectations that Jesus has given us. We are to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that love is to overflow to our neighbor. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Jesus takes that teaching from a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and then Leviticus chapter 19. Now, when he says that, when he gives us that those two commands, he's really teaching holiness. Holiness is really not having any contrary affections in our heart. We just love God with everything we have, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. He has that expectation of us that we will live holy or be holy as he is holy. Not only that, but all through the teaching of Jesus Christ, he gives us expectations. But the Great Commission is really the only marching orders that Jesus ever gave to his church. This is what we are to do in this world. And so we learned in the first lesson how important vision is for the church. Not only for the church, but for the individual in the church. And not only for the individual in the church, but for the lost and dying world outside of the church. We must follow the vision that Jesus Christ has for his body, for his church, the one that he has established. This vision that we live out in the Great Commission is done so in the assurance that Jesus Christ has all authority and power. In other words, it's his power, it's his authority in which we work and live. We learned that in the second lesson. The third installment of this series, we understood who is to live out this authority and this power, this vision that Jesus Christ has. Who it is that should go into all the world. Just a reminder, we learned that it is all believers everywhere that is to take this gospel, this great commission into all of the world. I'm fond of saying, and I hope you don't get tired of me of hearing this, but I'm fond of saying that it doesn't say, the Great Commission doesn't say, go if. It just simply says, go. It doesn't give you an out. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a Great Commission believer in Jesus Christ. You have a responsibility to the world, to the gospel, and to the head of the church, Jesus Christ himself, to take his salvation message to the entire world. So who is to go? You are to go. No matter when you are hearing my voice, if this video lasts for 1,000 years, which I doubt it will, but if it does, and you hear my voice 1,000 years from the time of the recording, you are responsible for the Great Commission in your time and in your society. So we have the vision, go into all the world. We have the assurance that we go in his power, not our own. His planning, not our own. It's really his ministry. It's not even our own. We're just invited in to his ministry by him. And then we are not just to go in his authority, but we're all responsible. All believers everywhere throughout history are responsible for the Great Commission. And today we're going to focus on the word go in the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, we read, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. The word go is an action-packed and aggressive word. It requires, as we've learned in the previous lesson, the universal movement of all believers everywhere, in every time. Each generation, each tribe, each tongue, each nation is depending on believers to follow Christ in his mission. I don't want to make you feel bad, but I do want to encourage you. There are people in hell today, not really because of, well, because of what they have done in their lives, of course, but they're in hell today partly because they never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They never had someone who went to them and gave them the hope, the very salvation that you have living inside of you. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to be given to the entire world. And it is given to the entire world through the words and actions of current believers in every generation. You and I have a responsibility to go. The gospel has been described as free living water. But free living water needs plumbing to get to the people. So where are we to go? Well, in Matthew 13, 24 through 30, Jesus gives us a wonderful parable. The story that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 13 is about a farmer who sows good seed in his field, only to find out that an enemy has come in and sowed bad seed alongside the good seed. And so as the wheat grows, the tares or the weeds also grow. Now, there is a lot in this parable that apply to our lives today, but I just want to lift up from the scripture one truth. Later on in Matthew 13, we read that the field is the world. Jesus explains to his disciples that in that parable, he explains who the wheat is, who the tares are, who the enemy is, but he then explains that the field is the world. This field, this world, is the place where believers are to go. The field is not the responsibility of the church in general. The field is the responsibility of the local church and every believer. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean this, that we have a tendency to kind of put off the Great Commission to, I don't know, our national ministry or something else. But that's not really what the Great Commission is. If your denomination happens to have a missionary sending organization embedded in it, that's a parachurch organization. And to be honest, to be brutally honest, that's not where the Great Commission is found. The Great Commission is found in every local church, every believer in the local church, having responsibility in going forth into the world. The field is a responsibility of not only the local church, but every believer in that local church. Each expression of the body of Christ is expected to go into the entire world. Now, parachurch organizations can help you along on that. But the biblical truth is this, that you're responsible, your church is responsible for the Great Commission in your part of the world and in all parts of the world. So where are we to go? Well, we're to go into the field. Now, this is important because oftentimes we think that the field that the church works in is within the four walls of the building it meets in. But that's not the field that Jesus describes to his disciples. No, the field is the world, the lost and dying world, the place where you find sin and destructiveness and evil. That's where we're to go. In what manner are believers to go? Well, a quick examination of the Holy Writ will instruct us to penetrate the world. Not just to call the world to us, but to penetrate the world. Jesus spoke using many different symbols. And just a quick survey of some of the symbols that he would use, like salt, light, keys, water, bread. These all indicate that we are to penetrate the world. Salt is useless if it remains in the salt shaker. It must, in some way, penetrate that which it is to flavor or to preserve. In the same way, a lamp that is hidden under a bowl is worthless. No, a lamp needs to be put upon a lampstand so it can penetrate the darkness. Keys. Keys are just fancy hunks of metal, sometimes important hunks of metal, unless they have a lock or ignition to be put into. Once they penetrate the lock, they can open it. Once they penetrate the ignition, they can start the vehicle. You see, keys are sometimes even pretty, but they're just simply worthless unless they penetrate what is intended for them to penetrate. It's the same way with water. Water is a very useful thing to have, but if it stays in the cup, it doesn't go into the body, it won't quench the thirst. Bread, Jesus said he's the bread of the world. Bread is only really useful if it enters the body. That's when it abates the hunger. It can't abate the hunger if it just sits on the table. You see, the imagery that Jesus uses teaches us that we are to penetrate a lost and dying world. And so what I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, is this, that every follower of Christ must live in a way in which they penetrate the world. They must live as a Christian on the front line of global witness. Every believer should penetrate the world at school, at work, at play. Wherever you find yourself, that's where you penetrate the world. In fact, wherever a Christian is with people, especially with people who are not yet saved, they are on their specific mission field. So just real quick, the vision is to go into all the world. The authority is Jesus Christ. The who is all of us, all who are believers. And the where or, and the action is to go. The verb is to go. Now, that verb, that word go, is not a command. It is a verb. It means as you are going. To make that a command would only add to the unbiblical hierarchy that already exists in the church. If go were a command, those who went to other countries or to far-off lands, or even in your own country to a far-off place, to go, those who go would be regarded as special somehow, above the ordinary Christian. Well, nothing can be further from the truth. The fact is that every Christian is called to go. No Christian should be regarded as better for having gone. They should just be regarded as obedient for having gone. Let me give you just a quick illustration. Think of your local church, the one that you attend. Those brothers and sisters that you sit next to in pews or chairs in a sanctuary or auditorium or wherever, however your church manifests itself. Think of that church. Where is that church at 12:30 on a Monday? Well, if they are not in the building which they have created to meet in, they are in the very act of going. They're going into all the world. They may be going into the supermarket, or they may be going into the auto repair store. By the way, I'm looking for a good auto repair store. They may be going into a McDonald's or another fast food restaurant. They may be social distancing in this time and age, or they may not be, I don't know. But whatever they are doing, when they are not meeting together in the building that they built for that purpose, they are biblically in the very act of going. This going, by the way, is just natural. It's just something that you will do naturally. Maybe you're going in the wind, just like I am today. The fact is, though, it's a natural thing for the church to go. Now, it needs to be preached and taught and indicated to the church that that's what they are doing, that naturally they are going into all the world. Because when it's preached and taught and indicated to the church that that is what they are doing, when they're not in the four walls of the building that they built for themselves, then life takes on a deeper meaning. It takes on a meaning in which that we are penetrating the world. Our actions ought to be actions that are not both that are both natural and intentional, because we are on commission when we are going. Ask yourself this question. Is your church taking seriously the divine assignment to penetrate the world? Is it already going with the message of Christ? Now, the message of Christ can oftentimes be spoken, and it should be spoken. It can be lived out, and it should be lived out. But there's a mixture of the two that's necessary to really penetrate the world. There's a pretty famous quote from Saint Francis of Assisi that you should witness Christ at all times, and when necessary, use words. Well, we should witness Christ at all times, in our actions, in our going, and it is necessary to use words too. You see, the act of going has to be both verbal and actual. Ask yourself, are the members of your church honoring the Great Commission of Christ by penetrating the world as we are going? Now, if you've noticed throughout each lesson that I've given to you about the Great Commission, we talk about the truth that is in the Scripture, Christ calling to you, but also we talk about the enemy's response, the false truth, some of the things that we've been taught that just simply aren't true in the church or in the world. So how has the enemy fought against this natural pattern of kingdom expansion? Well, Satan has subtly changed our mentality from go and tell to come and hear. Dear friend, the biblical expectation for us is to go into all the world. The church is to knock down the very gates of hell. But if we simply rely on a message of come and hear and not go and tell, we're not anywhere near the gates of hell. The average Christian doesn't even get close to them. No, what happens instead is we cloister ourselves within the four walls of the building we built for ourselves, and when we invite people to come in here, come in here. Knocking down the very gates of hell cannot be done with a meek invitation to attend our worship shows. It must be done outside the four walls of our church building and beyond our church programs. Come in here is no substitution for go and tell. Paul Little once wrote, "The problem is not that the gospel has lost its power. The problem is the church has lost its audience." The audience for the church is always found outside of the church. Now, as Jesus Christ establishes his church in this world, he establishes it as a body, as an organism. He is the head of the body. He is the door of the body. Salvation makes you a member of the church. The actions of the body, when they are not self-care actions, are always oriented to those outside of the body. those outside of the four walls of the church, those outside of the salt shaker, right? We have to get out of this mindset that evangelism is an invitation to come and hear what we have to offer, or come and experience this program that we have for the church. At best, most of our evangelistic programs are really designed to entertain those who are already within the body, already within the bounds of the church. I know that's harsh, but just take a survey of someone else's church. Don't use your own, at least not at this point, but just think about what most of our evangelistic services are about. Our tribe of Christians has this great tradition of camp meeting. I love camp meeting. I love going to camp meeting. And sometimes people who won't step inside of a church will come to a campground for some reason, and they'll hear the gospel. And we kind of bill camp meeting as an evangelistic service. But it's not really an evangelistic outreach if you look at it. It's for us. It's just a different venue for us in the church. That doesn't discount that there are people who are saved at it, and without it, there wouldn't be some of those salvations. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is this, that it is part of the come and hear mentality that Satan has set up, not the go and tell mentality that Jesus Christ set up. By the way, I miss camp meeting. And I think we're going to try to have a camp meeting in Ecuador. That's just a thought that I have. I haven't run it by the leadership here, but I really do want to have a time, a place where we get together, especially after all this COVID nonsense is over. We can get together and, without social distancing, come as one body of Christ, worship Him, and be together in unity and in love. Back to the lesson. Sorry, that was a tangent. The author Herb Hodges once wrote, "We are constantly multiplying our religious activities, perfecting our organizational programs, expanding and developing our denominational institutions, and strengthening our ecclesiastical structures. And all the world we are doing in many, many church situations is maintaining and entertaining ourselves. The devil must be awfully happy." We in the church ought not to devise ways to entice non-believers into our pews. We should devise ways to get the church out of their pews and into the streets, because this is the Great Commission. In the last pastorate that I had before I became a missionary, we had a wonderful time. It was a church that had some hard things in it, but even in the difficult things, we always felt love. We always felt that people weren't necessarily attacking us per se, but irritated that things weren't going right in the church. I mean, we always felt like the church was a loving and caring place, and it was a place, even when people were red in the face sometimes in my office, they were Christians. They were my brothers and sisters. And so we always felt, even the most difficult times there, that God had something great for them. And God showed that throughout our ministry. We're called to go into the neighborhood that we're planted in. And in God's grace, He allowed us to receive a lot of people from our neighborhood that normally wouldn't be in our church. Now, there was a mentality among some of the believers there in that church that it really didn't count if they just came on Wednesday night, that the finish line was our altar on Sunday morning. Now, in a sense, that's true, that the finish line is to be part of the body of believers in Jesus Christ. But that's really where it ends. It doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily dependent on a time, you know, a Sunday morning, or a place, an altar. No, when the church goes forth out of its building, salvations happen everywhere and anywhere. And that's okay. The goal of the church really has to be setting our sights on the very gates of hell so that we may knock them down. The goal of the church really can never be come to our service, come to our show, come to our place, be part of us. It has to be part of us. But just as Jesus Christ didn't stay in heaven and say, hey, you're invited to come. He came and dwelt among us. That's what we must do as a church. We must dwell among those who are lost and who are dying. Those who are sin sick. Those hurting people who hurt others. We must go out to them. A simple invitation to come to our program, to what we are doing on Sunday mornings, really doesn't cut it. No, not in the Great Commission, not in the terms of the Great Commission. We must go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus Christ commanded us. And that happens not necessarily within the four walls of the church building that we have built for ourselves. And it doesn't necessarily happen in the programs that we have established for ourselves. No, it happens when we as a church are motivated to get out of our pews and walk beside those who are lost and who are dying in this world. The Great Commission of Jesus Christ is such a wonderful commission, and there's so much truth in it. This week, though, if I could just elevate one bit of truth over all the rest, it is this, that we are called to engage. We are called to go into all the world, each and every one of us, of course, but if we would engage in this Great Commission, imagine what we would see in this lost and dying world. Imagine how it would be turned upside down. It will never be turned upside down if we simply invite those who are outside of us to come and hear us preach and teach and worship. Those are important things. But really, the world will only be turned out upside down if we go into all the world, starting with your Jerusalem, that's where you live, going to your Judea, that's where you're comfortable, crossing the line to where you're uncomfortable in Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. These are the concentric circles of responsibility that every believer, every local church has. Brothers and sisters, next week we will be talking about where we are to go, those concentric circles of witness that we are to have. Until such time, brothers and sisters, go. Go. Go with purpose. Go with authority. Understand that our ministry in the church is really outside of the church. And so go. Friends, my family and I serve Jesus Christ here in Ecuador. We are privileged to be your hands and feet here in Ecuador. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, please go to ourmissionpath.com. There you'll find not only teaching, but stories. You'll find ways to get involved in our ministry. Right now, we are trying to feed as many people as we can here in Ecuador. We have a food program link at ourmissionpath.com, and that's an important link. What has happened during this pandemic is that, unlike many countries, Ecuador has shut down, and it has been shut down for many months now. It's just beginning to open up. We are allowed to leave our home on any day of the week, but we're only allowed to drive every other day. Now, when you think about that, that's an inconvenience to us, but we have food, and we have loving and brothers and sisters who support us, and we are so grateful for you. We thank you so much. But for the people who are working one day so that they may eat the next, the street vendors, the ones who are on the sidewalk peddling their wares, and even the ones who own their businesses, this has been a devastating time for them, and many of them are very, very hungry. We have seen people that we know and love go from being somewhat skinny to being just skeletons. People are dying because of hunger. They're dying because of COVID, but they're also dying because of hunger here. And so we encourage you to go to Our Mission Path, check out what we're doing. If God leads you into helping us, we really would appreciate that. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for walking along with us on Our Mission Path.